As you may notice, our audio quality it's just getting worse and worse each week, and to at some point that you just won't we just won't exist anymore.
It's just going to be a slight crackle of static in the
We're going to be a
background.
whisper in the wind.
And that's our whole podcast.
I mean, honestly, yeah. Also, big disclaimer, we're going to run through a lot of films that we could think of, and there's plenty out there that we didn't touch, so we're fucking sorry. Super sorry, I didn't include the Twilight soundtrack in this shit.
I also think, at least when I was preparing for this, and I googled 2000s movie soundtrack, and I found a list that was like 20 different movie soundtracks that define the 2000s. I'm like, oh, perfect. This is super relevant. And I look, and it was a bunch of very like cinephile movies, and I'm like,
Yeah, that's what I found
I'm
too. And I
like,
was
I
like,
mean
I don't want
valid,
that.
but I don't want to talk about that.
I don't want that.
I spent too much of my last 4 years in undergrad talking about
I
that.
mean, yeah.
I don't need that.
Yeah. So, let's talk about the fucking 2000s. So, let's just dive right into this shit. And the first film soundtrack we're gonna talk about is Charlie's Angels. Because I own this shit in multiple formats. I own it on DVD, and I have the soundtrack on CD that I found at a thrift store. And I've seen the movie at least 25 times.
That's the proper appreciation it
Yeah.
deserves.
I
So.
mean, it was directed by a shitty director, but somehow made a pretty good film. It was really funny, and I don't know, it was just kind of. It wasn't ahead of its time. If anything, it was in its proper time. To say it's ahead of its time is giving it too much credit. But what's kind of amazing to me, aside from Drew Barrymore, is that the first track in the soundtrack is by Destiny's Child with Independent Women, which is a sort of well, already makes this soundtrack a classic. And it was the only single on this soundtrack to be a massive hit. Which is like obvious.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So in doing research for this shit was pretty amazing because there's a lot of shit I had no idea about this song and the soundtrack. And it more begs the question for me, why wasn't Charlie's Angels remade with Destiny's Child?
Oh, that's a valid point.
Yeah. Beyoncé's Angels, like that's honestly what it would have
I mean,
been.
you can make an argument for how like media wasn't ready for diversity like that.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the best argument you could make
Yeah,
if we're
like the
being
most I could give is like
real.
one Asian character.
Right, exactly. I think just in the 2000s, I mean, 2000s were not known for their like progressive casts, you know?
No. The only thing progressive was that they had a blonde, a brunette, and a redhead. And that's as far in color that they could fucking go.
Basically.
And so apparently this song, aside from I didn't know that it's their greatest hit song like ever. Just like it's like the number one hit that like played everywhere for 10 weeks, massive airplay. The song itself sold over 600,000 copies, which is fucking ridiculous. Like people can't sell that many albums now. And this one song sold more than 500,000 copies. And also a funny thing, apparently her dad, Beyoncé's dad, submitted this song to the film and she had no idea.
Oh my God,
I was like,
that's
that is
amazing.
fucking hilarious. Her dad knew where the money was going to be and she had no fucking idea.
Also, I'd like to add that I'm reading now that another song that was in the film but was not included in the soundtrack was Blind by Korn.
Oh yeah.
Just
I was
like,
definitely going to bring that up. Korn. Yeah.
just want to make sure that that was on
Yeah.
the table.
It's going to be your jam when you die.
Like, not the song I would expect to be in it. It's also been a little while since I've like watched it though.
Oh yeah.
So I think
Well, the
now I need to go
song,
rewatch it.
interesting enough, the only like the first few moments of that song plays in the intro of the film, and then that's it. You don't hear the full thing. You just hear like a snippet. Like you would barely notice it.
So it's probably like oh, it's playing in a scene
Yeah, it's
over the
like barely
radio.
there and then it
Well,
stops.
that's disappointing.
I know. I was just like, oh, Catherine's gonna like this.
A concept, a another film in the Charlie's Angels series, but the entire thing, like the entire like soundtrack and score created by Korn.
I think I would totally go for that.
Yeah.
Everything would be super desaturated. Everything, like everyone would be in black.
Everything would be really grungy.
Everyone would be brunette.
Yeah.
There's no blondes in this.
I'd be super into it.
I mean, why not just write it? Korn's Angels. Charlie's Korn.
Do it for the art.
Do it for Catherine, honestly.
Please do.
Yeah. There was also a shit ton more, like Aerosmith wrote a specific song for this album, mm-hmm. for this movie, but no one really gave a shit. True was played during this, which is like a classic song. And I never knew the song title. I was like, what the fuck is this? And I was like, oh, this song. Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Of course.
Plays during that scene.
Of course, yeah.
During the Soul Train scene.
It's one of the most important songs.
I rewatched it yesterday, and one of my coworkers was like, what are you watching? I was like, Charlie's Angels. He was like,
obviously.
He's like, what? I'm like, yeah, Charlie's Angels. He's like, I was like, have you never seen it? He's like, no. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
In the early 2000s, like, Charlie's Angels, both of the films were two of my, like, favorite movies, and I think it's
you because... love Full Throttle?
No.
Yeah.
As a child, yes. Because I think I've always had a very soft spot for action films with primarily, like, badass women.
Yeah.
Like, Wendy Wu Homecoming Warrior?
Woo!
One of my favorite movies when I was younger.
Wendy Wu. Oh, my God.
Hells yeah.
I mean, yeah, this, like, that was such an iconic scene with, like, the perfect song. And it gave white women confidence to really dance and just let loose. Because the whole thing... I'm dead serious.
It was the original Shake It Off by Taylor Swift.
Honestly. She was the original... Cameron Diaz was Taylor Swift before Taylor Swift. This was peak Cameron Diaz. Like, Charlie's Angels was, like, her peak. And it was around that time when there was a Something About Mary, too. So it was, like, that was, like, peak Cameron Diaz. Charlie's Angels was peak. And then I did like that they had three specific songs for the characters. Like, hers was Wham, was by Wham, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, Rest in Peace, George Michael. And then for Lucy Liu's character was The Flying Lizard's Money. And it was a cover by, like, an old song. It's an old song, but, like, they made this German, like, electric cover, which was, like, all right. And then I Love Rock and Roll by Joan Jett. Which is for Drew Barrymore. Which is very perfect. I really hope you can hear me sip this tea.
Sip louder. I think I saw a little bit.
I'm gonna run out. Also blown, since, like, they have so many fucking songs and so many didn't make the soundtrack, like Smack My Bitch Up by The Prodigy.
Oh my God.
When they fight in the alleyway with Crispin Glover, McFly's dad. Then All the Small Things by Blink-182. I forgot when that shit played. But to us, this is an amazing soundtrack. Because I fucking have this shit on my laptop right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so I was just like, you know, they should just repress this on vinyl. I think that's my gauge. I think that's my gauge of whether it's really fucking good, is whether it's worthy of vinyl.
That's fair.
And plastic. Yeah, so... Yeah. Honestly, if you haven't seen...
Does it stand the test of time? Absolutely.
Yeah, it definitely stands the fucking test of time. That's why they're remaking it now with Kristen Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
But Elizabeth Banks is remaking. She's going to be directing it.
Hmm.
I'm a little hesitant because, like, Pitch Perfect 2 and 3 suck.
Yeah, I mean...
But it's like, there's no way to fuck this up. You can't fuck this up. So...
I feel like you can't never say you can't fuck this up because they will. I feel like that's when
they will find fuck a this
way.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just have Drew Barrymore in it, man. That's all I want.
Oh yeah.
And Lucy Liu, and Cameron Diaz, but she's retired.
Hmm.
Yeah, I know. So another great fucking soundtrack is your favorite movie of all time, Shrek.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I hate you. One of the greatest films of all time. Greatest animated films of all time. It won the Academy Award for Best Animated Film, which is worthy, if anything. It was meant for them.
When I saw that Shrek was not on soundtracks that define the 2000s, I'm like, how? Because
It's one of the most 2000s thing ever.
When I think of like movie soundtracks that defined that era, I think of Shrek.
Yeah, Shrek.
I don't think of Romeo and Juliet.
No.
I'm sorry.
No.
Because I think that was on the list, but...
That's kind of stupid because that movie came out in 97.
Apparently this list was garbage.
Yeah, I know.
Because they didn't have Shrek, so clearly they didn't. Yeah, it was all cinephiles. So I'm like, what pretentious white filmmaker made this?
Some nerd. Some film student.
Hate those film students.
Pieces of shit.
Garbage.
Fucking garbage. Yeah, so it won the Academy Award for Best Animated Film. It was nominated for Best Film Music in England. And guess who it lost to? Moulin Rouge.
Ugh.
Another Baz Luhrmann classic. I mean, he knows his fucking music.
I mean, yeah.
Can you take a gander how many copies this shit fucking sold?
How many?
Take a guess.
Five.
Five what?
Five.
Just five copies?
Yeah, I don't know.
It sold over 2 million copies.
Jesus Christ.
So this really encapsulates the fucking 2000s.
It does. I mean, like, there are people who can't listen to Smash Mouth or, like, I mean, no one should take that.
God's Band.
Yeah, like, there are certain songs from here, like, that people cannot listen to without immediately being transported back to Shrek.
Yeah, it'll always be Shrek. Shrek is Smash Mouth and vice versa.
Like, isn't it, I'm trying to remember which song it was.
Well, there's All Star, and then there's I'm a Believer.
Well, yeah, no, but I'm talking about there's a different song that's very, like, attached to Shrek now.
God.
And it's not a bad song, but...
I feel like it's All Star. It's All Star. It's definitely All Star.
No, it's not Smash Mouth.
Which song?
Accidentally in Love.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm thinking
of. That was from Shrek 2, apparently.
Oh, okay.
That's from Shrek 2.
It's still, though, very attached to Shrek.
By the Counting Crows. But honestly, that is a good...
It's a good song.
Yeah.
But now it is forever tied to Shrek.
Oh, fuck yeah. Like, Smash Mouth has two songs in this album that, honestly, Smash Mouth is Shrek. And they do I'm a Believer, which is a Neil Diamond cover, which is arguably way better than the original.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll fight anyone who fucking says otherwise. Just because it's old doesn't mean it's good. Like, Smash Mouth did a better cover.
Better cover of which song?
Of I'm a Believer.
I disagree.
You like the Neil Diamond one?
Not Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
Monkees also did I'm a Believer. That's one I think of.
So who did it first? The Monkees or Neil Diamond?
I don't know.
I didn't go that deep.
I was under
research.
The impression it was the Monkees. I can look it up.
Please DM us. DM us for this
I'll
fucking
slide
answer.
Into our Insta DMs.
Well, I will say Smash Mouth did the superior version ever.
I haven't heard Neil Diamond's version, but I like the Monkees version better.
Smash Mouth, bro.
No.
Smash Mouth.
No.
Even I'm saying that.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I have a different opinion and I stand by it. Fuck you.
Aside from that, you know, Smash Mouth, like, these memes coexist as one. Like, they're so inseparable that I think the lead singer from Smash Mouth kind of looks like Shrek when he was, like, 200 pounds. Are you looking this shit up?
See, okay.
Controversy.
So, what I'm reading is that it was composed by him, but it was recorded by the Monkees?
Ah.
Hang on, I need to look further into this, because then I found a copy that's by Neil Diamond, so I'm... Neil Diamond. Yeah, keep talking. I'm going to continue.
Jesus Christ. The Bahamen are on this shit. I don't know where they are now, but they... But you know how they were the
Someone
shit?
Someone slide into our DMs and tell us where they are.
Where are they? Where are the Bahamen? And are they still letting the dogs out?
Ah, okay. So, he had already recorded the song before it was covered by the Monkees. So, Neil Diamond did it first.
It's the original. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think what happened is the Monkees made it good.
And Smash Mouth made it superior.
No.
They elevated it to another level.
Incorrect.
They made it ska.
Because when you search the song, I'm a Believer, it shows up on the Monkees.
Like, yeah. The Monkees, so, Neil Diamond wrote it first. Basically wrote it and they just covered it.
Right. No one gives a shit about Neil Diamond.
The mystery is solved.
Murder me.
I mean, look at that. Wouldn't you want that tattooed on like your,
no,
on, like your body?
Absolutely not.
Oh man, Baha Men covered a song by Modern Romance that I think arguably is way better than the original. Killing it. Yeah, this album's, this entire soundtrack is killing it so far. Some band named Half Cocked. Have you heard of this band?
No, I don't think so.
Good, because he only lasted 4 years. They did a cover of Bad Reputation by Joan Jett. And it was played during that scene when, like, they're doing a wrestling match in like, the town square.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, but how many of the songs on the Shrek soundtrack are, like, covers of songs?
I think a lot of these are. I think most of these are just covers.
That's what I thought.
90% of them.
And in my
except
opinion,
for
All
least, Star, which is an original composition.
Jesus. And in my opinion, a lot of the covers are worse than the original. In my opinion, anyways.
I will say that. I will agree with some of these things. Because
there are two different versions.
The Bad
of
Reputation cover
here.
Is bad, and this band only lasted 4 years, and hearing it just kind of explains why. Then there's a Hallelujah cover, which isn't horrible. It's like pretty decent as a cover.
It's like decent.
But it's not
like
that
it does
hard
its
to
job,
fuck
but
it
it's
up.
Not that good.
You have to really go out of your way to fuck this up.
It's one of those songs.
Like, you have to go out of your way to make Hallelujah like a dubstep version. Like, that's not how Cohen kind of envisioned it.
Well, and I'm noticing that there's also another the I'm a Believer reprise.
Yeah, the Neil Diamond actual.
No.
Is
Eddie
it not
Murphy.
It? Is that? Oh yeah, Eddie Murphy does it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy has 3 songs on this shit.
That's too many.
That weren't even on the soundtrack. He sings On the Road Again, Friends, and Try a Little Tenderness. But you have to remember, Eddie Murphy had a fucking music career in the 80s.
Did he?
Have you not heard his music?
Nah, dude.
I'm fucking telling you. Pause this podcast and go listen to Eddie Murphy's Party All the Time.
Do I have to?
Fuck yeah.
Ah, Jesus, okay. And we're back.
How did you like the song?
I mean, it was a bop. It was super, super 80s.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Eddie Murphy didn't win a Grammy at some point is, like, kind of a travesty.
If I weren't, like, half asleep right now, I would have been bopping, but...
I know, you're, like, half dying.
I'm mostly numb.
Don't
so.
Die!
I'll
do you remember...
Do what I want.
Do you remember the Shrek Swamp Karaoke scene?
What exactly... Which are you referring to? You have to
the first one where they were in the swamp and they had a karaoke scene. And then, like, all of them were performing songs in, like, the fucking swamp. It's, like, after the movie.
Are you talking the American Idol thing?
No, that's 2.
Okay.
Because
I just saw someone talk about that on the interwebs
I was watching
night,
that
and so that's
last
fresh
night.
In my mind.
Yeah, where Simon Cowell was, like, in it.
Yeah, and it's, like, if you don't pick the right person, Simon Cowell just, like, crowns himself
I'm
or
the
whatever.
Winner! Yeah.
Yeah, what a...
Yeah, they had a
I
thing...
think, for whatever reason, I just remember Shrek 2 way more than number 1.
I love number 1, I love number 2, I didn't like 3, and then there's 4.
There's a fourth
one. Oh, I think it's like Shrek Forever After.
And something. Then there's also Shrek the Musical.
Shrek the Musical.
Because God knows they're
yeah.
well
enough. So Shrek was pre-Minions.
I mean, think about this. The soundtrack to Shrek was so good that they had to make a musical. They're like, why not go all out? It's working so well already.
Yeah, and you know they're going to make a 5th one at some point.
Here, I'm just going to check out the musical soundtrack real quick while
it is,
we're here.
Oh my God. Yeah, like...
Good lord.
Shrek is, I think, if aliens invade, this is what they should be listening to. Like, this is what kind of defined our...
Humanity.
That whole... Humanity. Humanity, honestly. That whole decade.
Jeez.
And it's just like, this is what I want to be remembered by. If anything, play the Shrek soundtrack as I'm being lowered into my grave.
Yes, please. Show me more about Shrek.
Siri.
Hey Siri, tell me things about Shrek.
Hey Alexa, play All Star by Smash Mouth.
You can tell my Siri's awful because she didn't wake up when I said that, even though I have 3 devices right here where she's activated and I'm
so
offended.
Dude, so fucking dumb. That's that fucking stupid.
Doing me a dirty. Siri, you always let me down.
Are you looking at Shrek musical stuff?
No, I finished.
Oh, God. Sick. Yeah, so they had that whole scene where they sing, and each one of them had, like, a specific song to a same beat. Like, Shrek sang a Billy Joel song, Fiona sang Like a Virgin.
I remember this.
Remember that? Yeah.
Robin
Hood did, like, YMCA, which, like, was very fitting. Gingerbread Man did Do You Really Want to Hurt Me by Culture Club.
Oh, my God.
Which is, you know. That's a deep cut.
Like, I think it was, like, the best way to end that movie.
Yeah. And it's just, like, there's so much in that movie that was not meant for children. Because I feel like you just appreciate it more as, like, a teenager or an adult. It's just like, all right, I love this fucking movie.
But also as a child, I think one of the reasons it was so successful is because it's, like, it's dirty and kind of gross, you know? And that's kind of the point. And, like, as a child, how many movies do you watch that are, like, kids like mud and farts, and that's funny to them. And like, how many movies do it basically revolve around that more as much as Shrek does?
It took hideous creatures like an ogre and a donkey and just made them, it made them popular and amazing to be an ogre or a donkey.
And, like, they were assholes. And, like, again, not a lot of, like, kids' content has characters that are assholes. Especially now, because, like, parents are like, Shrek, they don't treat each other nicely.
Shrek made kids assholes.
Thank you, Shrek.
Yeah. Shrek and Smash Mouth made kids to be dicks.
That's why we're such awful people.
I know. Which is why we're doing this fucking podcast.
Thanks, Shrek.
Speaking of awful people, let's talk about Bring It On. Because Bring It On is, and forever will be, or should be, a Criterion classic in terms of, like, a movie in the 2000s that dealt with a topic that no one would have thought of.
I just saw Bring It On for the first time, like, a year and a half ago.
You're pathetic.
You're not wrong.
I know.
You're not wrong.
I've definitely seen this movie a gajillion times. I still mildly still quote it, like, if I can. With spirit fingers.
I mean, it was a great movie. I don't know what you're doing.
You can't hear, but my spirit fingers are moving.
Move them louder. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I peaked. I now have to stop. I'm not gonna lie, though. So much of this music, of these groups, or these people who are on this soundtrack, I've never fucking heard in my life. It's just random hardcore pop music. But Joey Fatone is on this shit, I think. Or Joey the Fat One, if you want to split up his name.
Wow.
I mean, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. But yeah, Joey Fatone is, like, on it. Which is weird to see someone from a boy band break off and try something alone and then realize that they're just not that great. And that's kind of Joey Fatone. Like when, JC, when that whole thing broke up and JC tried to do his own thing and it just kind of didn't work. It's kind of like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it just didn't fucking work out.
Also, I forgot that Mickey by Bewitched is in here.
Dude.
What a blessing.
Oh, dude. It is. Bewitched was on so many soundtracks in the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of insane. They were the Cranberries of pop, Irish pop.
They were fantastic.
They indeed were fucking fantastic. I wonder where they are right now. Because they should fucking come back. It's time. Like,
I need a Bewitched reunion tour.
I need to Bewitched.
Get out. Get out!
Like, you saw that coming from, like, a mile away. I haven't heard any of these people, and Bring It On, as per my gauge, should be repressed on vinyl. It should be fucking repressed
should
on vinyl.
Should the Shrek soundtrack be repressed?
Oh,
it has been, I'm sure.
I'm 1,000%
sure
positive Shrek
been,
is definitely on vinyl.
If we're being real.
But Bring It On soundtrack should be repressed on vinyl. Because it's amazing. 3LW, Three Little Women, were on this, and I'm very indifferent about this group because they had some hits, but then as a whole in longevity didn't last that long. Like, one of them is on The Talk, I think, or I forgot what. It's like those morning talk shows. But they're on it, and they were good for like a certain portion of the decade, and they had a pretty good song in this soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping I'm pronouncing this group's name wrong. Right, not wrong. Pronouncing correct is Black, but it's BLAQUE.
Yes.
So I'm hoping I'm pronouncing it correct. One of the members was in the film. She was one of the cheerleaders from the other school.
Mm-hmm.
The one with like the attitude, like the short one. Apparently, I didn't know this, so recently she died in a car accident in 2012, and her group, like that group, was hoping to make a comeback at around the same year. It's like, oh, that fucking
sucks.
That's
so unfortunate.
I know, and they had a pretty good song on this album too, but I tried so hard to find facts about like the music and like the soundtrack, but there was a lot of these pop groups were like mildly obscure a little bit, and I was like, I would have to dig deep into the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't do that because I'm at work.
Right. I mean, I haven't heard of a lot of these.
But the film facts regarding all of this is a bit more interesting than the soundtrack itself. But the soundtrack itself is like, just to say that it is an amazing soundtrack in terms of like, it fit the theme, it fit the atmosphere of the whole movie, the whole vibe. It
Slang
just melded
bottom.
Together.
Booty bounce. Take control. Can you feel it? Somebody say, oh yeah. Sorry, I'm just reading the track. More beef than cattle.
More, I mean, yeah.
Don't recall,
mood.
But I
mood.
Love that. I love the name.
Mood.
I also like the What's a Girl to Do urban mix, and I'm like,
what is the suburban mix?
No, urban mix.
Yeah. I don't understand urban mix.
The opposite of suburban mix.
Oh, God. What's the rural mix? It's just like Garth Brooks.
I think it's like, you know in Girl Trash how there's 2 a.m. and then the 2 a.m. rap version that's like really
yeah.
bad?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like that. But like better, you
okay.
know?
Okay, yeah.
Less bastardization.
More fun.
Yeah.
More fun.
Because every time I hear the 2 a.m. rap version, I'm like, oh, God.
So
I say every time because this happens more frequently than like I think it does for people. Because
you are
people.
Girl trash.
You're correct.
Yeah.
I identify as girl trash.
So here's a funny thing. The film facts about this shit is pretty funny to me. Did you know that Bring It On was intentionally going to be a documentary?
You know, when you first said that, I was like, my mind was a little blown. And then I thought about it and I'm like, huh. I mean, I could believe that.
I could totally believe that.
Like, that this is totally happening.
The whole thing,
like, yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing was originally going to be, like, a documentary on, like, cheerleading around the country or whatever, but apparently MTV News were not interested. They were like, that's stupid. And then
that's fair.
Torrance, the lead character, played by Kirsten Dunst, was inspired by Gwen Stefani. And so the writer would just write and have a picture of Gwen Stefani right by.
It'd be like that.
This is for you, Gwen.
Oh my God. I should do that.
There were two people who auditioned for Jesse Bradford's character, Cliff. That one guy. It was
that one guy.
Jason Schwartzman auditioned and James Franco.
Good Lord.
James Franco only auditioned because he thought the show he did a pilot for, Freaks and Geeks, wouldn't get picked up.
Ha ha!
Yeah. I'm like, dude, I don't think he would have had a career if he had got the fucking part.
No, probably not.
He would have died off.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse Bradford would have been the disaster artist.
Oh my God.
He would have been Harry Osborn. What else did he do? He would have been in Pineapple Express. I think their careers just would have been swapped.
That would have been so funny.
Yeah. Everyone who auditioned had to have a cheer.
Really?
Yeah, everyone had to have a cheer. And in my mind, I'm just like, I think that should be the standard now if you audition. Just have a random cheer prepared.
I like it. Instead of monologues.
Yeah, instead of monologues, do a cheer.
But this isn't for a cheer movie. I don't care.
Yeah.
Cheer for me.
This is a period piece on, you know, King Lear.
Cheers in a audition for a Schindler's List remake.
Schindler's List. Oh my God. Yeah, you're
that's the right environment,
you're
going to
be playing a Nazi general. But I'm going to need you to do a cheer right now.
Yeah.
So, please go and take
Make
your time.
Make me feel excited and happy about
I want
it.
To feel excited about this.
Yeah.
The Holocaust.
How did we get here?
You said it! Having a
I know.
Liam Neeson, like, cheering for Spielberg in, like, an audition room. Okay, let's go. Give me an S.
You know, today I learned that it's because of George Lucas that the THX, like that logo sound, it's because of him. I did not realize that.
He is.
I love learning.
He is a ridiculous genius, yet a massive idiot at the same time. He's just a film student with too much money.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But thanks to him that we have good theater sound quality now, so shout out. Don't credit him.
Don't credit him. All the actors had to go through cheer camp for 4 weeks, and a lot of, like, the people they worked with were actual high school cheerleaders from, like, they were, like, the top cheerleaders in the fucking country. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, this makes sense. And then my biggest crush at the time in the 2000s, Eliza Dushku. Smoking hot back then.
Okay.
It's like her peak. Bringing on, playing what's her face in Vampire Slayer, Buffy. I forgot what her name was. Hope. No, Faith. Faith. That's what it was. Her name was Faith.
One of those. Hope, names.
Faith, Destiny. Courage, Confidence, Ew. Destiny. Gross. One of those names. She spent a night in Tijuana jail, and then was let out and got to set the next day, hungover.
Damn.
I was like, amazing. Real, real commitment. Do you know the song Cherry?
I mean, mood.
You know the song Cherry Pie, right?
Oh, obviously.
Yeah. They had to pay $40,000 to use that song.
Worth every penny.
Disgusting. Disgusting. And they only use it, it was like during the audition scene when they got a stripper to come in, and they only use it for like 20 seconds.
I feel like that's when that song is always used in movies.
Yeah, for stripping.
Things. It's always for like some sort of stripping or stripping adjacent.
Yeah, post 2010, that song has maybe never been used.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah.
Is that another song that existed solely in the 2000s?
Well, I'm pretty sure it existed in the 80s and 90s and then waned off in the 2000s because it's just it's a stupid fucking song.
I forgot when it was made.
Apparently the lead from that band hates that fucking song because that's all they're ever known for.
Well, I feel like that's what happens with bands is they have, hits that, they get really known for and then nothing else. And they're, really... Didn't that happen with, the Sherlock books?
Yeah.
Where the author hated those books, but those are what he's known for. Yeah.
He's like, no, I fucking hate my work. No, but dude, this is amazing. Fuck you!
Yeah.
If anything, stop writing.
There you go.
Yeah, fuck you.
Do you think Smash Mouth resents being known for All-Star?
I think so. But if anything, it's getting...
I mean, if it weren't for All-Star, would they... Yeah. If it weren't for All-Star / Shrek, would they be here today?
No.
Exactly.
Also, because we're definitely going to have a Smash Mouth episode, they have an acoustic album.
I'm sorry, what?
They have an acoustic album.
What?
Yeah. That was released last year. And they're coming out with more music.
Last year.
There's an acoustic album, and I will personally buy it for you.
Please don't.
I will buy it for you on cassette.
Don't do that to me.
On 8-track.
My God. I'll have to go find someone with a cassette player. I don't have to find someone. I already know someone with a cassette player.
Jesus Christ.
I think you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you're listening to this, buy that album on cassette, bro. I'm telling you, it's...
Do they still sell albums on cassette? Because, they sell vinyl. Vinyl's come back. Well,
cassette player, those are starting to come back slowly. If you go to Urban Outfitters, they have a whole
I get
wall.
Vinyl. I don't get cassettes.
Though. I don't get cassettes either.
I'd be like, when are we bringing CDs back? Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, that shit's going to die off. I still have my stack of CDs.
I think I still have some, back in my parents' home.
I have a good, 100 or so. So, bring it on. Watch it. Own it. Be it.
Live it.
And please petition for it to be pressed on vinyl. Just for me. Another amazing film that I will say was not 2000s, but edged it. It was in 1999, was Pokemon the first movie. You've seen this, right? You've never seen this fucking movie.
No, I literally... Okay. I feel like I've told you this before. But, just this past summer was the first time I started, really watching Pokemon. And before then, I'd seen, a couple episodes on TV when I was younger. But,
this is
never
essential.
Enough to know what was going on.
Yeah.
And so I just started watching. I've watched, a little bit of the very first, the Indigo League?
Indigo League, yes. Yeah.
So I've watched like the first like maybe 10 episodes of that, and that's really where my Pokemon knowledge lives. That and Pokemon Go.
There should be 40 more episodes you need to get through. Most of it's filler. But when it gets good, it gets fucking good.
I mean, they're really fast to watch. It was something that I watched with other people because we had nothing to do at work. Now I have things to do. And it's like, there are a lot of other things I've been watching.
Yeah.
That have clearly been taking my priority. Like shows like Cougar Town. Now that's a 2000 show.
Oh, God.
The amount of 2000s references in that show will never, it blows me away. Ugh. I feel like every time we record a podcast and then I'll watch an episode.
Cougar Town!
And it'll reference like five different things we talked about in our last episode.
It's fucking, yeah.
That's a show with a great ass soundtrack.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, let's just do a Cougar Town episode. Oh my God.
Good Lord, they have Enya, Anya, whatever
Anya,
they are.
Anya.
Whatever.
Supposedly. I'll just say Enya because that's exactly how it's fucking said.
Yeah.
So, Pokemon the first movie, well, I'm not talking about Pokemon the movie 2000,
right,
which is such a weird title in itself. I'm not talking about it because that soundtrack sucked. But the first movie had a baller soundtrack with over half of the songs not even being in the fucking movie. And get ready to strap in because it's going to be fucking hilarious.
Oh, jeez.
So, the whole soundtrack opens with the original theme. It's like kind of a remixed theme a little bit, but it's still, Pokemon has one of the greatest themes.
Oh, yeah.
Ever. Really. Like, that shit either gets me hype or makes me cry. And makes me want to go on an adventure. Which is why I play Pokemon Go any chance I fucking get. It came out October 1999, but since Woodstock had already happened, you know.
I mean, it was like end of 99.
Yeah.
So,
you know, like, Woodstock already killed the 90s, so this is already 2000 as fuck. Like, hearing what I'm gonna say about this is 2000s as fuck. Do you remember a band, a duo called M2M?
I don't think so.
I sent you that,
but
I sent you that song. Yeah.
Look, when you send me 5 links and I don't answer for like a few hours, it means I don't have time.
Yeah.
So I probably forgot to look.
Get your
links.
Shit together. I'm telling you. So this
I
song.
I have a job.
So this
sometimes
song.
I'm working.
I mean, same. Same. So they had this song that was the lead off the soundtrack. Say, it was called "Don't Say You Love Me," and literally the fucking song is about losing your virginity. The song is about fucking, not fucking on the first date.
So of course it was being used in Pokemon.
In a Pokemon movie.
Because
no one's gonna fuck after this movie. And reading into it.
Don't say no one, because there are people out there. Have you seen that viral video of like the two people doing like a Pokemon themed wedding?
No.
Oh, it's one of the cringiest things I've ever seen in my entire life. Let me send it to you.
Oh, God.
I'll need to find it.
Jesus.
Because it's disgusting.
So basically, the band said that this song was about not rushing into your relationship. But there are lyrics in here that I'm just like, I beg to differ. Because it's literally about not doing it on the first date. And waiting. And they were rejecting, there were critics rejecting that the song was about abstinence. And the whole music video is them in a drive-in movie theater watching Lord knows what movie and not making out with the other guy. Which is totally understandable because every guy in there is fucking gross. Totally understandable. But I was just like, this is the lead single off a Pokemon film. Don't say you love me because you don't even know me. Which is a fucking lyric.
Classic.
I mean, yeah. Christina Aguilera, "We're a Miracle," is on this song, on this soundtrack, and to me, it is the best, one of her best songs ever, because it's so fucking good. Like, you just have to listen to it. I can't describe how good it is until you really listen to it. Like, I want this to play at my wedding.
I mean, I was looking at the soundtrack, and in general, just, can this be the soundtrack to your entire wedding?
Oh, yeah, the Pokemon, the movie soundtrack will be the soundtrack to my entire wedding. In contrast to what my girlfriend ever says.
What an interesting wedding
yours
is
going to
be, since you also said you want a mosh pit at your wedding.
Yeah.
This is going
to
be really wild.
We can mosh pit to Bewitched.
What better content to mosh pit to?
Oh, yeah.
Is that how you would use that mosh pit to something?
Yeah. I'm mosh pitted.
I'm learning. I'm hardcore.
It's a verb. Soda Pop by Britney Spears, which when you hear it, almost doesn't sound like her, and I thought it was somebody else. And I was like, there's no way that this is her. There's no fucking way, but it is. And it doesn't appear anywhere in this film, which is a fucking shame. Then NSYNC has their song Somewhere Someday, and another travesty why this isn't in the film, because it could have been used when Mewtwo and Mew were having a fight. That's that fucking song that could have been used. This is a very 2000s soundtrack.
Oh, absolutely.
It was like peak shit. Bewitched song, Get Happy. Do you know what the first fucking lyric is in this fucking song?
What is it?
Don't be a brontosaurus. That's the first fucking lyric.
I hope they changed it for the film to Don't Be a Bulbasaur.
They didn't.
Well, that's a huge missed opportunity.
Oh god, Pokemon Wedding. Jesus Christ.
You're welcome.
So, the first lyric is Don't Be a Brontosaurus, which should be the motto in life for all things. This is the greatest lyrical content that our society can muster. Like, I don't know who the fuck okayed that lyric, but I'm glad they did. And if you've noticed a trend, Bewitched is on every fucking soundtrack so far we've talked about.
Oh, yeah. Let me see if I can find it.
They're everywhere.
So guess what I just pulled up.
What the fuck is that? Oh, my God!
Take a quick scroll.
There is a soundtrack to Cougar Town.
Yeah, there is. I told you, I've been watching it, and it's crazy.
This is amazing and disgusting real speedwagon.
Exactly, and it's even worse when you're watching it, because you'll be watching it, and some really weird song will come on.
Dude, what the fuck?
It's too much.
The Whitest Boy Alive, Beyonce, Single Ladies, Florence, all right, not bad. Right. LaRue, the only song
I'm pretty sure, like, half of their budget went to just getting, like, music rights, because God knows it didn't go into their green screen. Good lord, it is cringy.
We'll talk about Cougar Town another fucking episode.
You're welcome.
Because I feel like that's where it's leading to at this point. Emma Bunton, Baby Spice, did a fucking song for this movie.
Specifically
Baby Spice.
Good.
Free Up Your Mind. It's okay. But you can just tell that they really mixed her voice down in post and really did some shit to it.
Mm.
It just sounds empty without the rest of the Spice Girls. It doesn't have that punch. Like, there's kind of a reason you're the background singer a little bit, like, and this kind of proves why. Like, you know, you're not Scary Spice or Posh. So just be Baby Spice. 98 Degrees, the bro boy band, is on this soundtrack, and that's as much as I'm going to say about it.
Yeah, you don't need to say any more than that.
Vacation by Vitamin C is the fucking jam. Because there's literally two verses and all hook for the rest of the song.
Ah, nice.
It's just, I need a vacation. And it's the biggest mood ever.
Relatable content.
And they played it during the Pikachu Vacation short film that aired before the movie.
I feel like I can be on vacation. I'll be like, I need a vacation.
You would love this fucking song. Because it's just like, when I heard Vacation, I heard Vitamin C. And not the graduation song. Aaron Carter is on this shit. And the song sounds like Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch did this shit, or they took all the drum tracks from NSYNC's first album and just used this shit, and it's just Aaron Carter.
Wow.
Also, fun fact about Aaron Carter, he's bisexual.
Nice.
No idea. He's much healthier now. Remember that time when he looked like shit for a while? He's like rough. Do you remember? Mildly. He's much healthier now.
No.
Which is more power to him. A song that played. So there's a scene in the movie where Ash looks at the Pokemon that are fighting. You have to fucking see the movie. I have to paint the picture to you.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, there's Pokemon clones in this film. And so all the clones are fighting each other. And they play this song called Brother, My Brother. And it's the saddest thing. And Ash is watching, like, why is everyone fighting each other? And
yeah,
they're
it
just
sounds
like
I really need
hitting
to watch
each
it.
Other. It's emotional.
Also, Ash is a little bitch. That's what I did learn from the episodes I have watched of Pokemon.
Ash is a little bitch.
Yeah,
he's the worst.
Yeah.
He's the worst at times. This movie was critically panned, but as a child, it was one of the greatest fucking things ever.
I mean, yeah.
So they're wrong.
I feel like as a child, critics don't fucking matter. It's just if you enjoyed it, it's valid.
Yeah.
Like, who gives a shit? You're a child. If you're entertained, like,
even as
children
an adult,
don't need to be cinephiles.
even as an adult, I'm like, dude, this shit's fucking great.
Yeah.
Like, you can't. All the movie was just a long episode of Pokemon.
Which is good.
Which, by the way, the movie is canon. It's fucking canon.
Hmm.
And I want someone to argue with me about this, because I'm 1,000%
sure. Do people
sure.
argue that it's not?
I don't know. Because it's... I don't know. I have yet to meet someone who's like, oh, that movie's not canon.
Yeah,
like, it's totally fucking it.
I was gonna say, I haven't talked to enough people about the movie to know whether... how people feel about it.
I'm very set on it being canon because there's an episode in Pokemon where they're going to the last gym and the gym fucking explodes.
Nice.
And you see a thing that's Mewtwo fly into the sky and it's just a blue light just flying into the fucking sky, which leads into the movie.
Amazing.
That you see like the backstory of what happened and he just fucking flew out. He basically killed all the scientists and just fucking dipped.
Damn.
I'm like, that's how the movie opens. He fucking killed people. This soundtrack reached number 2 on the French albums charts. Fucking France. It was number 8 in the US. It sold 2 million copies. And I do not own one.
Get on it.
I know.
Would you have this pressed on vinyl?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I'm ready. In blue and pink. One from Mewtwo, one from Mew, and like 2 LP.
Oh my god.
That's how you do it.
I think I would have Cougar Town pressed on vinyl. I just feel like that'd be a really wild ride.
I'm a marketing genius.
God.
So the last film we'll talk about is a film we both have seen. Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Hells yeah.
It is at the very brim of the 2000s, but still fucking counts.
Mm-hmm.
It
oh,
is a
yeah.
film that gave 130-pound white guys confidence. To start a band. If anything, I do argue it's inspired an entire generation to start a band. It even
Which isn't necessarily a good
it's
thing.
Not the greatest thing, but it gets you doing something. You know? It makes you have fun with your friends. That's all that was. And technically, from the character's perspective, they suck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, all the actors recorded the songs as the band in the film. And all songs were written by Beck, who is a really great songwriter and can just do anything. Michael Cera was the only one who knew how to play his instrument,
mm-hmm.
and everyone else had to learn in like a few weeks, which is pretty amazing because they sound pretty fucking good.
Well, I hear that like he actually had to try, they had to talk to him and be like, you look like you know it too well, and
yeah.
you're making everyone
you need
else
to look shittier.
Look so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knew everything so well.
Like, you need to play a little shittier.
Yeah.
Which is like...
Have you ever heard his music?
Yeah. I have a mild story. We were at a show once, and we talked to we saw like a band, and they were like, oh, have you heard of Michael Cera's band? We were like, yeah. And one of them goes, we saw them live recently, and... they're not very good.
I mean, I believe
they're not very good.
Like, well, even the music of his that I know, at least, because
yeah.
I don't know his entire, you know.
He doesn't have the discography.
But I don't necessarily think the music is, like, really good, but it's so him.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's very unique,
yeah.
and I think it has a place.
Yeah.
But I don't think I would just go and listen to it at
no.
a concert.
No. This is very urban. Like, it should be played at urban. Where you wonder, is that Michael Cera? And you just keep shopping.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just the only time it should be played. This is one of the greatest soundtracks ever in terms of...
Yeah.
It fit the movie, it fit the theme, it fit everything. It was, like, so well-placed. Everything about it was just pretty perfect.
And I think it's a very different kind of soundtrack than a lot of the others we've talked
yeah.
about, where
fuck
a lot of those are a lot of, like, pop.
Pop.
And I feel like this comes more in a
And, like, you can tell there was, like, real thought into this of what song was going to be played.
Absolutely.
And a lot of the music from this soundtrack was from Toronto.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, it was, like, Broken Social Scene, Plumtree, Metric. Michael Cera's even from fucking Canada.
Yeah.
And Alison Pill's from fucking Canada. So it's, like, everything fits so well.
Mm-hmm.
Black Sheep, which is like the big...
love that song.
Which is a big song. So they recorded the song and then they thought it didn't fit their album, so they gave the song to the movie.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I think this fit your album, but this shit was fucking perfect.
Right, absolutely.
And Brie Larson sings it.
Right.
There's a Brie Larson version that is very fucking good.
I think one of the things I love the most about the Scott Pilgrim soundtrack is how they integrated in. Like, I think they had a specific advantage.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was a film about music and musicians, that they were able to integrate the music in a way a lot of other soundtracks can't.
Fuck yeah.
And so, like, some of these songs, like, even if I hear, like, the, like, original versions that weren't, like, in the film, I just see the film in my head. I've also seen the movie so many times at this point that, like, it's ingrained
in me. I saw the movie 5 times in theaters.
It defines who I am as a person, yeah.
Honestly, like, it is a movie I'm never tired of seeing that I will quote forever.
Absolutely.
Like, Bread Makes You Fat.
Oh my god, yes.
Bread Makes You Fat?
You have to say the L word. Lesbian? Or the other
lesbians?
L word? Lesbians?
Lesbians? I'm in lesbians with you.
Oh my god. So iconic.
Your BS is about to get effed into B! What a great fucking movie.
Chicken parm isn't vegan?
Gelato isn't vegan.
So good.
Smoking eggs, bitch. The opening track was the greatest intro to a film I had seen that year. And granted, before I saw the movie the first time, I was watching Eat, Pray, Love. I was watching Eat, Pray, Love, and at some point, Scout Program is about to start. I'm going to leave the theater and go to the other one. And I did. And I was not disappointed.
Yeah.
We Are Sex Bob-omb opened, and I was just like, what the fuck is this? This is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
The cast, they recorded the song, played the song. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. And then they also sang Threshold,
yeah, which is
my
Threshold.
Favorite.
That one's...
Garbage Truck and Summertime.
Garbage Truck was always one of my favorites, for sure.
Garbage Truck is a fucking great one. Then the song Scott Pilgrim by Plumtree, which is an old song. The creator, Brian Lee O'Malley, he heard the song and just took the name and made it the character.
Mm-hmm.
That's really why that song is in there. But it's a good little indie song.
I think one of my favorites was We Hate You, Please Die.
We Hate You, Please Die by Crash and the Boys. The fact that this isn't a real band is...
It's so disappointing.
It's so disappointing.
But I think while they may not be a real band, that band exists, you know?
It exists in our hearts.
Like, they still exist.
Crash and the Boys is all of us.
Also, I'm so sad. So very, very,
very,
very
sad.
A whole 13 seconds.
Because the whole lyric is just like, so sad.
And, like, that's the whole thing.
Thank you. That's all they did. Yeah. I was just like...
And I'm like, I want to go to a concert like that, where it's just, like, a couple notes, a couple words, and we're like,
it's not
it.
A race,
and
guys!
They're like, that's it, thank you.
It's not a race. Let's see. I heard Ramona sang by Frank Black from the Pixies. That was a really... I love that they put the song Scout Pilgrim in, I heard Ramona sing back to back. I was like, yeah. One of my favorite songs off this soundtrack was a cover by Sade, well, from Sade, By Your Side by Pinchwood Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard of the band, and I saw By Your Side. I'm like, this isn't that song, is it? And it was, and I was very apprehensive because Sade is like untouchable. She is like that woman is she is from Rivendell. She is like a human, like angel elf of music and being. And so when I heard the song, it grew on me. I'm like, all right, this is actually a pretty good cover because it doesn't. It doesn't try to become Sade's, it just makes it their own.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like perfect. And it's a very romantic song. And then the Black Lips are on here, they're super garage rock band, O Katrina. Have you not heard the Black Lips?
I probably have. I'm just having troubles placing them.
I feel like I've shown you Bad Kids.
You know me in names.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you should listen to them. I was just happy that they were on a major soundtrack. I'm like, yeah, this band was like super, not super underground, but they were very garagey, low key, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We Hate You, Please Die is still like classic. Really classic. Teenage Dream by T-Rex. I'd never heard of T-Rex before prior to this movie. And this is the film that got me into it.
Mm-hmm.
I love T-Rex. One of the greatest groups to ever exist. Sleazy Bet Track was like my least favorite song. It's still decent, but it just didn't...
I don't remember it super well.
Yeah, I remember what scene it played. Anthem for a 17-year-old girl played when after they beat the twins.
Yeah.
And he sees knives and you hear that song play. That's the song.
Yeah, so good.
It's like 5 minutes long. I'm like, this is some sad shit. Big moody emo shit. It's a song you listen to when you just want to hug your pillow at night. It's like the perfect
Which
song.
Which is why it's anthems for a 17-year-old girl. Yeah. It's fitting.
And then Emily Haynes from Metric did the vocals because she's part of that band too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's great.
It's what's crazy is that not only the soundtrack is amazing, but the score itself is amazing too. Because it's produced by Nigel Godrich, who produces all of Radiohead's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like all the bass battle stuff like he produced with like some other artists, like all the score music was just like it was just so perfect. Like the music for this shit was perfect.
Yeah.
There's really 10 out of 10. And I have it on vinyl.
Of course you do.
Yeah. On colored vinyl.
That's just a given.
Because I'm a massive slut for this shit.
You are.
So definitely we missed some soundtracks that we wanted to talk about.
But we don't have the time.
We don't have the fucking time anymore. So I'm just going to make one of them my album of the week, which is Zoolander. That's mine. The Zoolander soundtrack. Yeah.
I forgot to do an album of the week until you said that, but Think About Now is one of the soundtracks that we didn't have a chance to talk about, which is Juno. Because that soundtrack is...
I'm really bummed. Really
another Michael Cera, shout out.
Another big Michael Cera mood.
Yeah.
Because he is a big mood. So, that's it for this whole fucking week. Join us next week when we talk about conspiracy theories, because why not? It'll be fun.
That sounds right.
Adios.
Bye.